Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
And it says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love, in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Josh, why don't we pray first? Thank you, Jesus. The Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, our God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are rich in mercy, that your mercies are new every morning, that your grace is more than sufficient, our Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your great unconditional love that endures forever, our God. Right now, this morning, our God, we give this day to you as we remember the sacrifice, as we remember what you've done on the cross for us, our God, so that we can be saved, our God, so that we can walk in freedom and in victory. And so, Lord, we give this day to you. Bless this day. We commit it and we dedicate it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you today, this morning, on the title of "But God."
Come on.
But God. Show of hands if you know what I mean by "but God" moments, or if you've had a "but God" moments. There you go. We've got a few of us. A "but God." I remember I've had a few "but God" moments in my life. I remember when me and Vanya were newly married. I think it was like our first or second year. I was still a carpenter like Jesus, still a tradie back then. I'm a carpenter by trade. And, you know, I was a casual worker, and it was during the Christmas lockdown, so there was no work for me, and we only had $50 in the bank account. True story. And rent was due the following week, and there was no money income coming in. But God provided. I remember last year, and you guys would have known this, if for us who call Pneuma Melbourne West home, I had a sore knee. I went to see a doctor. I went to see a physio. They said it could be gout, but God healed.
Come on.
And just to make sure, I went to get an ultrasound, and I asked the ultrasound person, "So what is it?" And they're like, "There's nothing in there." I'm like, awesome.
Come on.
No gout in Jesus' name. Because they were going to say, "No red meat for me." And for those who know me, I love my red meat. God's good. And many times again, we see in the story, in the Bible, time and time again, a "but God" moment. Noah, in a world full of evil, corruption, and wickedness, but God found favor in Noah and remembered him and delivered him and his family. Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and had every intention to do evil against him, but God was with him and turned it around for good. Moses in Exodus, when they hit a dead end facing the Red Sea while the Egyptians were pursuing them, but God split the water, parted the water, and rescued the Israelites. Joshua, after walking around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, but God on the seventh day broke the walls of Jericho. But God, time and time again, we see a but God moment. But God. A powerful phrase where something stops and another thing begins. Right. It is a divine interruption from God where God steps in. Why? Because He loves us. And in order to understand and appreciate our but God moment when it comes to all things, our salvation, we need to understand where we were before our but God moment. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, gives us a very clear statement from Paul, who was the writer of this book. It's a very heavy statement, and it says this, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Before we encountered God, before we had our but God moment, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And this is not talking about a physical death. This is talking about a spiritual death. What is spiritual death? It simply means that we are separated away from God. Wow. Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us that our iniquities have made a separation between us and God. Yeah. And in verse 2 and 3 tells us how we do that. It tells us that we have been separated by God. We've been dead in our trespasses and sin because we have been walking in the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, living out the passion of our flesh, and carrying out the desires of our body and mind. What Paul is simply describing here in verse 2 and 3 is simply a life without Christ. I just want to encourage you that if we continue to live a life without Christ, not only it affects us now, but if we don't recognize it, church, I'm telling you, if we don't acknowledge the fact that we are dead in our trespasses, in our sins, not only it will affect us now, it will affect us eternally, and that is called eternal death. You see, unless we have a spiritual awakening, the only path for those who are dead in sin is eternal death. And I don't want that for you guys. Come on. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. You see, sin separated us from God. Sin separated us from God. And any separation from God, which is the source of life, naturally is death for us. Some of us here are probably thinking, man, I wish I slept in and had a hot cross bun by myself at home. Thank you guys for coming this morning. But there's good news.
Come on.
There's good news. But God. Yeah, but God. Verse 4 tells us, but God, being rich in His mercy because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses of sin, made us alive together with Christ. You see, no matter how great your sins may be, no matter how great your transgressions may be, no matter how great your offense may be, no matter how great your iniquities may be, I want to tell you right now, church, that God's love is greater. God's love is greater. Oh, Lord.
Come on.
Oh, God, how great is your love, Lord. Psalm 63 tells us that His love is so great. It is greater. It is greater than life itself. How good is it that our God is not just the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, but He is a loving Father who loves us greatly. You know what great means? I had to look it up on Google. In the Oxford Dictionary, it says this: it's an extent, amount, or intensity considerably above average. But it also means that it's important, or is this distinguished, like Michael Jackson's greatest hits, or like NBA all-time greats. Well, God's love is not only considerably above average, but it's also distinguished. It's so high up there, and it's a class of its own. It's agape love. It's the highest form of love. And God is love. John 15, verse 13 says this: greater love has no one than this, that someone lay his life down for his friends. Church, I want to tell you on Good Friday that what Jesus did on the cross for you and I is the greatest act of love. Is the greatest act of love. Not only that, I want to tell you that his love is unconditional. It's agape. Ephesians 2 tells us that even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Romans 5:8, another great scripture. It should be behind me. Romans 5:8. And it says this: but God shows his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Key words, even when, while we were still. You see, we have a loving God who meets us where we're at. It was God who first initiated. He loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses. He loved us while we were still sinners. He loved us in our brokenness. He loved us while we're at the very low. It is unconditional, which means there is no checklist that we needed to check in order to receive his love. He loves us when, he loves us while, and he freely gave it to us. And this is this love. And this is the love that despite our sins, despite our transgression, he sent his very best, his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Just so we don't perish. Just so we don't have eternal death, but have eternal life. Why? Because it's God's desire to see all people saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3-4 says, this is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Oh, Lord, how great is your love. Oh, God, how unconditional it is. Thank you, Jesus. Lastly, I want to point out that his love endures forever. If I can get the band to come up. Thank you, Jesus. And I actually want to read this psalm to you. And I'll let the scripture do the talking. It's from Psalm 136, and it says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. And verse 23 says, it is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And if you agree with that scripture, why don't we just give him a quick praise right now. Father, we give you thanks, oh God, because your love is great, your love is unconditional, and your steadfast love endures forever. It's forever. You see, what we read in Ephesians here wasn't just for the people then, but it's for us now. It's for us now. You see, God's great and unconditional love still stands today, and it's available today. Going back to the scripture in verse 8 tells us that for by His grace you have been saved through your faith. And this is not your own doing, but it is a gift of God. You see, your faith plus God's grace equals salvation. And Romans chapter 3 verse 23-24 says that for all have sinned and fall short glory of God, which we know. But we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, the only way to salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father, that your love is great, it's unconditional, and it's forever. Church, can I encourage you, if you haven't yet, will you receive the gift of God today? Will you receive His grace today? Will you receive His love today? Will you receive His mercy today? You see, He went on the cross on Good Friday just so we can have eternal life with Him, because He loves us. So now we're going to come now to a time of communion. And as you walked in through these doors, you would have received an element. And last night, wasn't going to share this, but last night I slept at 4 a.m. in the morning, because I just went through, decided to read the events before the crucifixion. And I just wept and I wept and I wept, because God is so good. Oh man, He's so good. And I shouldn't want to take us on that journey. And so you should have the communions with you that looks like this. But before we take that, I just want to go through this reading with you, this journey with you. I want us to close our eyes and bow our heads right now. I want us to close our eyes and bow our heads. I'm going to tell you some moments that happened to Jesus before He was crucified. Jesus was betrayed. How many of us here has betrayed Jesus before? Jesus was denied. Jesus was condemned. Jesus was beaten up. Jesus was spat on. Jesus was scourged, He was whipped. Jesus was mocked. And Jesus was pierced. Jesus was hung on a cross. It is finished. And so as Mia plays a piano over us, a song over us, a melody over us, I want us to just reflect before we take the communion.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why don't we stand up, church?
Thank you, Jesus.
And And I want you to think about the first time you encountered God's love, the first time you encountered His presence. Just reflect on that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together.
Thank you, Jesus.
The bread is a representative of the body which bore our sins and paid the penalty. In the same way, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often you think, drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink the cup together. The cup represents His blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God, that there is a "but God" moment in our lives. We thank You, Lord God, that even in our trespasses, in our sins, oh God, while we were still sinners, oh God, You continue to love us, oh God. I thank You, Father, that Your love is great. I thank You, Lord, that Your love is unconditional. And I thank You, Father, that Your love endures forever. And right now, oh God, on this very day, on Good Friday, let us not forget the sacrifice You made, oh God. Let us not forget what You've done on the cross for us, oh God. I thank You, Lord, for Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated His love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross for us. And Lord, right now, we remember You. And Father, I pray, oh God, that it's not just today we remember You, but every single day we live our lives in remembrance of You. We give You all our thanks, oh God. We give You all our worship. We give You all our praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.